This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Take this woman as your lawful wedded wife.
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed.
Hello, and welcome to With This Ring, episode 21. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
I'm Cindy Everett.
And today we'll be continuing our look at the GWCW wrestler ever with Cactus Jack.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah.
And I just have a soft spot for Mick Foley, so right. Spoiler alert, I'm probably going to give him a high.
Yes.
Reading.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was always one of my favorites growing up and continues to be to this day. So yeah, he'll be a high grader. We'll both be high graders for him.
Right. Yeah, even all throughout our relationship, there's been a lot of Mick Foley content.
Yes.
We saw a stand-up in South Bend, Indiana. That was back
2013?
I was going to say, 2013.
Yeah. So. Right across from the prison in South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah, wonderful little venue. It wasn't at the prison, it was at the Dew Drop-In.
Right, the Dew Drop-In right across the street from the prison.
Right. No, it was a good
and
show.
We saw him getting out of the car or in getting into the car.
That's right. We did.
Yes.
I forgot about that. Nice. Ah, good times.
Yes.
All right. Well, you want to set us up?
Yeah. So, you know, Mick Foley started wrestling in 1986-ish, 85, 86. He trained in Pittsburgh while he was going to college in upstate New York. So he commuted every weekend.
That's right.
Like 9 hours back and forth.
That's crazy.
And then eventually he did like the independents for a little while, Memphis, Dallas, and it was starting to get like a reputation there as like the wild man, like the brawler who take all these high risks and stuff.
Yep.
And so that got him signed by WCW eventually. And he came in originally like as a low card guy. Like he was not very heavily pushed. He was just kind of put in matches to make other guys look good. None of the people in charge are like really thinking like, oh, he's going to be a future main eventer. So that's kind of where we are when we looked at our first match.
Okay.
Which is Capital Combat 1990.
Yep. This is Kevin Sullivan, Cactus Jack, and Bam Bam Bigelow versus Norman the Lunatic. Not a very PC name. And the Road Warriors.
Yes.
Yeah, this is. I remember making the comment at the time too. This is before he got really. I mean, he was bigger guy, but
right. He didn't.
Not as beefy.
Right. Yeah, he was pretty svelte for Mick Foley in this one.
I would not call Mick Foley svelte. I know what you mean. And I didn't realize he just started in WCW. I thought he started in WWE.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, he actually had some. He was a jobber in WWF matches in like 1986. It was like his second couple of matches were there, but I mean, this was really as an actual competitor that was going to get something.
Gotcha.
And yeah, so this is right before he left WCW for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it like, he was in a feud with Norman the Lunatic. So that kind of tells you how he is on the card.
Right.
If he's acting like a mentally deranged character feuding with another mentally deranged character, it's not going to be main eventing any shows anytime soon. So, and then, yeah, this is really weird, like, for Bam Bam Bigelow. This is a really random show for him to be on. He wasn't really around WCW at the time.
Hmm.
So it's kind of weird how he shows up, and then Kevin Sullivan, who we'll see much later on also.
Right.
He was kind of, him and Mick Foley or Cactus Jack were in a group together, and Kevin Sullivan was kind of like his mentor.
Gotcha.
They pushed it as.
Yeah, Kevin Sullivan, I Every time I hear that name, I think Kevin Nash, then I'm always very sort yes. of disappointed.
There's
when...
about a foot and a half difference there. A
little bit of a difference. But this, I mean, I'm looking at my notes, it just seems like all of his matches, he's just the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, and even like this, like, it's the opening match, it's kind of like a powerhouse tag match, like the main guy's in it, and he's still just like flying all over the place,
yeah, right
going
away,
over the top
yeah.
rope right away. Yeah, it was, yeah, he is, in all these, we watched three tag matches, and in each one of them, he's definitely like the most active go-go guy of
yeah.
all of them.
Well, I don't know, the last one we watched was a little chaotic.
Well, yeah.
Also but, with Kevin Sullivan.
Yes.
But... yeah, this one, it was definitely the Mick Foley show.
Yeah.
Definitely him getting just, yeah, hit after hit.
Yeah. So it goes about 10 minutes, and I was actually surprised that it's Kevin Sullivan who does the pinfall.
Right.
I would have guessed definitely Cactus Jack is going to get pinned to end the match, but no, so a good little...
Road Warriors and Norman for the win?
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's opening match usually you want to put the baby face over in.
Right.
Get the crowd happy.
Get the one mental patient versus the
yes,
mental
yes.
patient.
The good mental patient gets the win.
Right.
Not and this was also, the Road Warrior, like, they had been the top team for a while.
Oh, really?
And then this was, like, right before they left for WWF. So you could kind of tell that's why they were shunted to the opening
gotcha.
Match.
They were on the outs.
Yes.
I gotcha.
And then, like I said, Cactus Jack leaves WCW for a while, and he kind of went around the independents at the time, kind of building up his name, which was kind of new at the time. Because at the time, like especially like the Northeast Indies, it would be like a bunch of up-and-comers and then like some guy from 1985 WWF. But
gotcha.
Cactus Jack was doing so many of these matches that he became, like, the main event for these shows, which was, I mean, yeah, he had 6 months in WCW, but he wasn't, like, a household name.
Gotcha.
But just through his...
He was only at WCW for 6 months before he left?
About six or seven. Yeah, it wasn't that long.
Okay.
So, and then eventually he gets called back to WCW, and he does a series of box-related
Yeah, that was a little
gimmicks.
Bizarre.
So first, he has a box for Sting, and it's his good friend Abdullah the Butcher.
Obviously.
And then there's a Clash of the Champions where there's a box rolled out, and Cactus Jack comes out and attacks Sting. And then later, Cactus Jack is giving an interview and sees a box come out and thinks it's his good friend Abdullah the Butcher and wants to give him a Cactus Jack hug. But it's Sting.
Obviously.
And they've... fight all over the place.
And did they ever explain, like, why he always did the box?
Or? They eventually... they kept doing the box gimmick for a little while. It eventually turned out it was Lex Luger who was behind it all. Because he didn't want to fight Sting.
Okay.
So, for some reason,
Makes sense.
I guess he had an excess of boxes and wanted to use them up.
Pretty flimsy looking. But this is also when we did the birthday cake promo.
Yes, the birthday cake promo for... Cactus Jack, how did you feel about that?
I like that one. That was funny. We were singing happy birthday to you, bang bang.
Yes. Yep. While Abdul the Butcher is just
like feeding, him,
feeding
cake.
Him cake and they're all eating it.
It was just one of those things where you could have gone either way, but I think
yeah.
he pulled it off.
Yeah, and he talks about how he's celebrating Sting's birthday because Sting's last birthday was his last birthday.
Oh, that's right. That was the context.
And that was kind of like, there's a... on the DVD it was on, there's a little snippet beforehand where he's talking about how he was trying to, like, toe the line of being, like, comedic and interesting,
right.
but also
yeah.
serious. Which I think he did pretty
mm-hmm.
pretty well. Gets it across that he's going to kill Sting, but he's also eating birthday cake.
Obviously. Yeah, what did you think the first time you saw that? When was the first time you saw that promo?
That promo was probably on the DVD, like, 5 or 6 years ago.
So that's the first time you saw it?
That yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, yeah, like, this was, like, a weekend WCW show.
Gotcha.
In 1991 that I wasn't really watching that much of.
Later.
Yeah. And that leads us to our first match. Well, our second match. Or Sting versus Cactus Jack in a submit or surrender match.
I quit match.
Yes. Well, submit or surrender, I think, was the nomenclature they use.
Gotcha, but really it's an I quit.
Right.
Mash. This one, I think, I said this when we were watching these matches, but I think that Mick Foley, as much respect I have for him, I think he's also like the Gallagher, where he just goes like for the lot of like gimmicks. Like that, I was laughing out loud though when he was in the garbage can.
Yes.
In this match. Because once again, it's just like hit after hit after hit. The guardrail took a beating.
Yeah, the guardrail takes a beating. The garbage can. And this was like power. It was on Power Hour, which was like their third most important show. So it wasn't like, and it was, you didn't see these type of matches usually on that show. So it's kind of like they're just building him up slowly, like on all the random shows.
It's like a slow burn.
Yeah. And I mean, Sting was their top guy at the time, and he's fighting him
here.
So that's kind of telling.
And he's feuding with him with birthday cake and
right
presents.
Well, this was kind of like Sting was feuding with him. He's like feuding with Lex Luger kind of in the background. He's feuding with Rick Root. He was like all over the place.
Gotcha. Could focus it a little bit.
Yeah. And that's why like this was his match with Cactus Jack. And then for a little bit while, this went on the back burner, this feud.
Gotcha. I also wrote that he hit himself with a chair.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but I wrote it down, so.
I think he, like, tried to hit Sting, and Sting moved, and he hit the ropes.
That's right.
And it bounces back.
God, yeah, he really wasn't.
Yeah.
Any sort of hit.
Yes, he would.
Gosh. But yeah, that was quite a match.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. And then I should mention that another match he had with Sting was that we didn't watch. We watched before was the Beach Blast, where it was pinfalls count anywhere on the Gulf Coast.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that. And that was kind of like the follow-up to this, where it was like, you know, pay-per-view, so it was a little bit longer, and yeah.
Was that one of the outdoor ones, like in that like weird like swimming pool arena?
Yeah, no.
Or was it inside when they had a lot
of pops? It was inside, and they had, yeah.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Yeah, it's Mick Foley, of course, everything gets destroyed.
Of course, yeah. And then, so, 92, like I said, he's kind of feuding with Sting, but kind of on, like, the back burner there. And then he kind of gets hurt for a while, and he ends up managing the Barbarian and Jake the Snake Roberts.
Interesting.
And then, eventually, he has a match with Paul Orndorff where Harley Race says that whoever wins will get to team up with Vader.
Mm.
And Harley Race takes a shot at Cactus Jack during it.
Gotcha.
So Cactus Jack turns face.
Okay.
This is kind of unusual for him, especially this was really one of the first times he was a face.
Hmm. And people accepted that?
Yeah, people liked him. And
yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I like him. So next thing we saw was Super Brawl 3.
Cactus Jack versus Paul Orndorff, who I did not know much about. Still don't know much about. And I don't think I even heard the opening bell. It just Cactus Jack comes out with a snow shovel.
Right.
And starts smacking
attacks him. Like, as Paul Orndorff was coming out. Paul Orndorff was in the main event of WrestleMania 1.
Okay, that doesn't help me. Yeah. But
him and Rowdy Piper against Hulk Hogan and Mr. T.
All right.
So he was pretty big.
We should watch. Did we watch that?
No, it's a good match, but it's kind of like, I don't know. I think you'd find it kind of like boring.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, 1985, so it's a little different.
Gotcha. Different pacing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, he was a big deal then, and he was kind of making a comeback here. He had been out of the business for a couple of years where, because he had gone away, people just assumed he was dead.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And he had to be like, no, I'm just working in a bowling alley. I'm not dead.
Aw.
Not dead.
Not really dead.
Yeah, so that was a hoax.
It was a hoax. Paul is dead?
Yeah, Paul is not dead.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, yeah. Once again, this is just another smack fest. I think it's going to get repetitive. I mean, as much as I like him, it might get a little repetitive talking about these matches.
Yeah.
It's just like Mick Foley gets slammed over the guardrail. Mick Foley gets slammed with a shovel.
Although here he gets the
cord.
He falls over the barricade twice in the one spot
That's
where he gets
right.
whipped into
yeah.
it. And for some reason there's a ancillary guardrail that he
of
like
course.
Careens
it's
off
just like
of.
A trick guardrail.
Yeah. That's quite the gruesome bump. And this is a match that's like not really talked about as being. Well, I mean, this also has Vader versus Sting in the strap match.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of overshadows it on the same card. But this was a really good match. I liked it.
See, I was going to ask why you picked it, if it's like more of the.
I think it was kind of like just. For one thing, this is kind of like, especially someone like him, we've looked at a lot of his big matches already.
Okay.
So trying to pick out matches that we haven't seen, and like this was a good example of him as a babyface.
Gotcha.
Match. So yeah. I kind of figured that out.
That works. Okay.
And then, yeah, so he wins this with the snow shovel, as you said.
Yeah.
And then the next one was...
That's some Vader.
Yes, some Vader action. So, yeah, like he was feuding with Vader pretty much from January till the end of April here.
And
Harley Race was with Paul Orndorff and Vader, so...
Gotcha.
That's kind of how that match happened. So, yeah, we go to WCW Saturday Night from April 17th. And it is a... Just an absolute slugfest with Vader, where he said, like, he told Vader to just punch him as hard as he could, basically, and make it look good.
Well, yeah. Well, that's funny you said that, because the first thing I wrote, I said it was pretty sedate compared to the last match we watched. Started in the ring.
It's actually...
And there were no props.
It's around the ring. There's not a lot of props.
It was just Jack getting punched over and over again.
And at one point, Harley Race really wanted to do it to make him bleed. If you want to make someone bleed the hard way above the eye, there's like a spot where you hit them to make their eyebrow bleed. And he was talking with Harley Race before the match, and Harley Race said he was going to do that. And at the point, you could see Harley Race come over and he like picks at him, but Vader had already busted him open there. So Harley Race just like pushes his head against the apron, upset that he wouldn't be able to bust him open.
Vader did his job.
Yeah.
I guess that Mick Foley taking a crap load of punches.
And this one, we watched the DVD version also because the original... So, the version we watched was the full uncut version.
Okay.
WWF has the tape of that, obviously, because they have, you know, all the master tapes of WCW matches. But that's not the version that actually aired on TV because they thought it was too brutal originally.
Oh, wow.
So, they, like... edited out a lot of the blood and stuff that was in the version that we watched. And then the next week, they wanted him to cut a promo with, like, they put makeup to, like, cover up the blood. And then they wanted him to actually show the blood. It's kind of,
Yeah, I don't get it.
They wanted to cut an interview where it looked like it was right after the match.
I gotcha. Okay.
And originally they were like, well, it's like 2 days later, and they didn't worry about it at first because they weren't going to show it, but then they wanted him to show it, so he like had to be punching himself before he went for the interviews.
Get some fresh blood on his
face. Yeah, make it look good.
Interesting. Okay. But yeah, this one, Cactus Jack wins by a count out after kind of an elbow to the stomach. And I said the pointless guardrail is getting thrown around a lot.
Yes. Yeah, Vader was very upset after he lost. So
that's right.
Threw the guardrail and challenged Jack to a match the next week.
Obviously.
And this was non-title, but just having beaten the champ was a huge thing for Cactus Jack.
Gotcha.
So then the next week...
Wasn't we watch those weird promos?
Yes. Well, first
we
the next...
talk about this.
We will. Oh, don't worry.
Okay.
So the next week, though, they have their second match.
Okay.
And Cactus Jack gives the interview beforehand talking about how he has a wife and son.
That's right.
And they're worried, and they've never looked at him worried, and they're worried because of the beating he took the last week.
Right.
And this time, Vader powerbombs him on the floor.
That's right, yeah.
Killing him, basically. And then he goes away for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then intrepid WCW reporter Catherine White gets the story.
They're not a news station. Why don't they have a reporter?
You know,
they're
CNN, they're Turner Networks.
Ted Turner, sure.
Yeah, they're all together.
She didn't have a CNN microphone, though. She had a WCW one.
Well, yeah.
And I guess, like, do you have any sort of contacts? Like, why was he planning to, like, take a break for a month?
Well, he... So, the way he laid it out in his book was that Dusty Rhodes wanted them to do an angle where him and Vader would be feuding, and Vader would wipe him out, and then Cactus Jack would have amnesia, and he'd go to Cleveland, and he'd think he was a sailor, and Cactus Jack was like about to say, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but then Dusty sweetened the deal by saying, I'll give you 3 months paid vacation off. So he was like, yes, I'll be Captain Jack and live in Cleveland or whatever you want me to do. I'll shave my beard.
Right. Yeah, that's an easy.
So then they started filming it, and I think I'd have to look. I think that is his house that they go to.
Oh, so the act.
Or it was someone's house, like within WCW.
Gotcha.
And when Dusty Rhodes met his wife, he had to hire a dumpy waitress or a dumpy actress because it was Mick Foley. Cactus Jack should not have a supermodel wife.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we talked about that.
I don't know if it's really Dewey or not.
Oh, as the
2-year-old son.
Probably
not. Yeah.
Yeah, I always feel bad for those those people that get like cast as like the ugly one. Yeah. Like the Mathletes and Mean Girls, like the little Marymount team. It's like, oh, you get cast because you're like not good looking.
Well, you're unconventional looking. Call it that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not everyone could be as nice as the Home Alone director and that's just get their son to be Buzz's girlfriend.
That's a great trivia, but Dusty was not think this all the way through.
No, like, I don't think. Well, like. He had been a booker for years. Mm-hmm. And like when in 93, 92, they got like, he had these, Eric Bischoff brought in like screenwriters to help him like plan everything out long term. And I think he thought that meant that he was supposed to get like more.
Like elaborate?
Elaborate and I don't know. Yeah.
Like how would you have even ended that? What would you have done?
I don't know what the end originally it was planned. I know eventually it was just supposed to be he comes back and fights with Vader, and there was supposed to be something with his family, but they never really got around to explaining it. And then, like, that ended in late June, I think.
Okay.
And Cactus Jack still stays off to like, the middle of August. And he comes back and he's saying, like, oh, those were just mind games I was playing. I've been fine all along.
Mm.
He was trying to lull Vader into a false sense of security, I guess.
I guess. I mean, that dogged reporter, though.
Yeah, poor Catherine White.
And the woman kept changing between from
Bang. Yeah, his
pirate
new love, Bang Bang, right. Was, yeah, she was changing races.
Ethnicities, yeah. Yes. Well, you know, I guess they didn't really
see. Yeah, they didn't think it through, and no. I guess couldn't hire the same, maybe she was a child actress and could only work so many hours.
Mm. I don't think she looked that young, but whatever. And, I mean, all right, so.
But again.
It didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it did end up going to their match at Halloween Havoc, where they had the Texas Death Match with Harley Race using his taser.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it ended up, like a lot of these things, they end up resulting in good matches, but with WCW, the way getting there was kind of a little awkward sometimes.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so 4 down, 3 to go. We'll take a quick break. All right, real quick before we keep going, we're going to want to tell you about some of the great things on the Place to Be Nation. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. We have plenty of great content for you here at the Place to Be. The Place to Be podcast, the mothership of the Place to Be Nation, where co-hosts JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo take you chronologically through the history of WWE.
PTB and Main Event with hosts Scott Criscolo, Nate Milton, and Steve Will breaking down all the current events in the world of wrestling.
Talking WCW heads to Center Stage Theater, where Tim Capel, Greg Phillips, Jennifer Smith pay tribute to the legendary promotion from the Dirty South.
Do we do a promo for our own
show? No, we can skip that one.
Highway to the Impact Zone, where Logan Crossland and Jacob Williams discuss the era of TNA, starting with the birth of the Impact TV show.
The NWA Saturday Special, where Scott Criscolo and George Dr. G. Ribella talk both current and classic National Wrestling Alliance.
Hmm. Plus, monthly WWE PPV reaction shows and semi-regular shows like Jenny and the Gems, PTB NXT, Adam's Division, Special Relations, Chicken Salad, Senior Video, NWA Crock and Roll, Extreme Resurrection, and more.
Yep. And also, make sure to listen to our quad of pods. We have the PTB Pop Experience. It's all about pop culture. We have the best in TV, movies, comics, trivia shows, and much more.
Jennifer Smith is always in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great shows ranging from movies, books, Marvel, and more. If you are interested in doing a pop culture podcast, Jenny wants to talk to you. Reach out to her on Twitter at JennyPosition to learn more.
Also make sure to join JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell for great shows on wrestling, comics, and more with the North-South Connection feed. Check out the histories of WWE, TNA, and other great wrestling topics and takes.
Also, Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, nontoxicfanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure to join the Rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture.
Our 2021 stretch project is determining the greatest NWA/WCW wrestler of all time. Go to Facebook.com/GWCW and join the group to discuss nominees.
And make sure to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, Paulie's Perspective, and Matt's Disney live-action journey.
And if you're doing some online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click the banner on the right side of the PlaceToBeNation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. And it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you.
All right. And then our next match. So, like I said, he feuded with Vader until Halloween Havoc. And then he kind of got shunted down the card again.
Okay.
And this time he started teaming with Max Payne, who originally was an evil guitar player, but now I guess he became a good guitar player.
Okay. Why does he have to be a guitar player?
Because that was a thing. He actually did play the guitar, though.
Okay,
at least, which is better than sometimes when they have guys with guitars.
Gotcha.
And it wasn't something he like used in every match, which is also an improvement over some guys with
gimmicks,
guitars.
Yeah. Okay. Sound like you're thinking of someone specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, so our next match, though, he eventually started feuding with the Nasty Boys, the tag champs. And this is Spring Stampede, 1994. Cactus Jack and Max Payne versus the Nasty Boys in a Chicago street fight.
Right.
At the time the Rosemont Horizon,
aka the Allstate.
Yep.
And once again, this is just chairs, pool cues, some like weird fake concessions.
Yes.
Very kind of almost like Attitude Era precursor.
Yes.
Just like random crap everywhere that gets used as weapons. Mm-hmm. Not in the ring a lot. And the shovel comes back. Where did the shovel come from?
Well, the shovel originally was just when he turned face, he needed something to go out there and hit three heels with. And I guess ever since then, he just always had a shovel nearby. So that's the best
okay.
I can offer. But yeah, so yeah, it's really, it's only like 9 minutes. It's just action the whole time. They do the split camera.
Oh, yeah.
For a while.
That's right.
Yeah, the very common to see at wrestling shows where they just have a concession stand where no fans are allowed
Obviously.
To go.
Wait, hang on.
Yeah.
What? So I just realized all these matches he was Cactus Jack. When did he change characters?
Well, he was always just Cactus Jack in WCW.
But when did he become Mankind and Dude Love? Was that in WWE?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he was.
I just realized that.
His whole career, he was just Cactus Jack outside of WWF.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
All right. I'm on board. Thanks.
So crazy hardcore match. He's wearing a shirt that says Super Dad.
That's right. Aww.
Over his flannel.
Of course.
And, yeah, it ends with, well, first he suplexes a table onto Brian Knobbs on the aisle, and then him and Jerry Sags attempt a pile driver, but
that's right, the table.
This was table was not meant for 600 pounds to be standing on it, and it crumbles, or it just kind of like...
It like kind of like groans and just...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you said it had been pre-cut. It was very clean.
Right, it was, yeah, it breaks right down the center. And then the match ends with Cactus Jack going for a pin and the shovel that's being right, used yes. against him very obviously. Hard.
Yeah, yeah. How many concussions did he have?
I think it was like 9 were confirmed, but...
Oh, jeez. You know. Only 9?
Yeah, well, he's sure he's had quite a few more than that.
Right, some more on the radar. I mean, you know, like...
Every time. It just it rung my bell, you know, that right. it's probably a concussion.
Ugh. Hopefully he donates his brain to science when the time comes.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's not what I know that thought. So next we have that weird Disney soundstage yes. match in 1994. So he's back to fighting or feuding with Vader?
Well, no, this was kind of just like a one-off
okay.
show. Like
Disney show?
Disney show that, yeah. And again, they decided to do a Texas Death Match, which was kind of what they did at Halloween Havoc, but... Since this is the syndicated Disney show, it's, of course, called the Texas Tornado Match.
Obviously.
Which confuses Tony Schiavone and Bobby the Brain Heenan, as they keep calling it like a Texas Death Match.
That's funny.
But for some reason, it's called a Texas Tornado Match here.
I should get them on board.
Yeah, they probably should have been alerted to something like that. And this match is actually, after this match, he handed in his notice and said he was leaving WCW.
Really?
Yeah, because he did not like the way that it was like just such an afterthought throwaway match.
Mm.
Like he didn't like how the announcers didn't like, because he gets powerbombed on the floor again and they don't bring it up like, oh, that happened to him a year ago.
Gotcha.
You know, and, you know, building it up. Oh, because
yeah.
he was like, because with the Disney shows, they did like, they tape like 12 shows in over 3 days, like, you know, so many months in advance.
You're not going to mass produce them.
Yeah, and he was like really down in the dumps going into it, and then he was like pumped up, he had this great match, and then he saw the TV version, and he was
like, this is like, awful.
This is
yeah.
not worth it.
Yeah, Nick Vader did his Vader bomb.
Yep.
And yeah, those power bombs on the floor looked terrible. He really quit after that?
Not he put in his, or I don't know if he put in his notice or he just knew that he wasn't going to re-sign.
Gotcha.
Like in his head.
Is that one of ours or is that outside?
I think it's outside.
Okay.
So yeah, so he decided after that, like, I'm going to find something else to do. I'm not going to just waste the, you know, because he was 28 here.
In 1994?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 28, 29. So he was like, I'm not going to waste my prime here just doing random matches where I'm killing myself and it's not being put over.
Right, right. Yeah, seriously.
So then our final match.
So how long was this match then after that one? A couple months?
Oh, no, this was... Like Spring Stampede, the Texas Death Match, and the Tornado Match. Sorry, yes. The Standards and Practices will be coming after me. They were all within a month of each other.
Oh, okay, okay. I didn't realize that. Oh, yeah, this one made me motion sick.
So, again, the Nasty Boys. And again, Cactus Jack. And this time, though, Kevin Sullivan.
Yep. No Max Payne. Max Payne's yes. out.
So, this was actually supposed to be Kevin and Dave Sullivan teaming together against the Nasty Boys, but then Dave Sullivan blew out his knee, and they called Cactus Jack up, since he was still kind of feuding with the Nasty Boys, and rather than going and getting his ear surgery, which is what he was scheduled to do, he put that on the back burner,
of course,
and came and had this match, and actually stuck around until like September because of this stuff.
Gotcha. So he liked kind of getting more back involved, and they
yeah.
put him over a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this one, like I said, the cameraman was just like all over the place. And
yeah, they again do the double
yeah.
camera spot.
There was too much going on, man. Oh, there was a very special guest referee.
Yes. Dave Schultz of the Broad Street Bully Phillies.
Obviously.
And he explained it before the match. His weird promo wearing like a button-down shirt over his Phillies jersey or his Flyers jersey where he explained that he was going to make sure that there was order in the match.
Uh-huh, sure.
He's just going to walk around with his hockey stick just in case.
Yep.
Because that's what you do.
And I was like, that hockey stick's going to get used. Well, I think I said this ref's going to interfere, which I technically was wrong. But his hockey stick was used. I thought the hockey player guy was gonna start some shenanigans.
Yeah, he did. He kind of called it down the line until you touch his hockey stick. That's something you don't do.
No. But there was, chairs, like crutches. Who was on crutches?
I think it was from a fan.
Really?
I think so. I don't know. That was something they did a lot in ECW. I think it would be from a fan.
I'd be pissed if I was on crutches. Well, they probably taken?
Handed it over.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. They, like, wanted it to get involved. Yeah.
How would, like, you need crutches? Hopefully they come back.
They'll tape them up.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully. All right. Yeah, and there's a couple matches they wrapped electrical cords around there.
Yeah. Like, I mean...
How do they fake that without, like, damaging their...
I mean, they just kind of do it and just don't... Pull as hard as it looks like you're pulling, I guess, would be the...
that sounds terrifying.
...way to do it. I mean, it's kind of like... Well, they'd always, like, double wrap it, though, if you notice, that it looks like you're pulling, but you're not.
Gotcha.
I think that's the way you fake it.
I'm sure as long as they know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a sissy. I wouldn't have much of a career as a wrestler.
As a hardcore wrestler?
No. No, I would not.
Yeah, but this is a good match, and I know in his book he said this was... Like, one of his favorite matches. I like the Spring Stampede match more. I don't know how you felt.
I like the Spring Stampede match more, too. A little more, like I said, the camera work was...
This was
a little too chaotic.
Yeah. But this does have, like, the big... Because after they... So they win the tag titles from the Nasty Boys. And then Dave Sullivan comes out and hits him with his crotch. Hits the Nasty Boys with their crotch. And then... Max Payne comes out and hits him with a guitar. So it's like everybody gets the revenge on the Nasty Boys. So at least it was more of a final.
That's true. Kind of like buttoned it all up.
Yeah. So then him and Kevin Sullivan are tag champs. They lose to Paul Orndorff and Paul Roma at Bash at the Beach in just a horrible 20-minute match where it's like Cactus Jack and Kevin Sullivan have shown their best tag matches are like wild brawls, and they just have like a 20-minute trying to be technical match, which is very bad.
Yeah.
And then, so they kind of like break up. And again, he had to put off ear surgery because there was supposed to be like WCW Saturday Night was their Saturday night show. It was like their main show, and it was supposed to be not on a lot during the summer because that's when Braves were going to play. And Braves were on TBS, but obviously. Then the strike happened.
Oh, yeah.
So now they did 2 hours every week, so they had to call Cactus Jack back in. Until finally he had, at Fall Brawl, it was him versus Kevin Sullivan in the Loser Leaves Town match. And even though Cactus Jack was supposed to be the heel, he was the big face against, you know, the guy who was like Satan.
Right.
Was his gimmick, so Cactus Jack got cheered, but ended up losing.
Gotcha. Losers leave town.
Yep, and that was that stipulation actually stuck. He left WCW and
wasn't like Hulk
would never return.
Wasn't like Hulk Hogan retiring every
or Ric Flair
couple months. Oh yeah,
retiring in the big cage match.
That's right. Jason goodbye to his wife and kids. Oh man, no good stuff. I mean, although I will say, talking about all those matches back to back, they do kind of all seem
similar.
He has a high
style.
Factor for sure.
Yeah. So again, let's look at the
criterion.
Yep. So I'm on the wrong page.
I was gonna say.
All right. So it's the NJPW. N is nuance. So longevity, flexibility, and intangibles. So longevity, he was there about 4 years. Which, I mean, it's kind of like in the middle of...
Really?
For WCW, I mean. Because we're really only talking about 20 years.
Okay, yeah.
And, I mean, the whole time he was there, Well, the second half, at least. From 91 through 94, he was always like the top third of the card, I'd say, at least.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And flexibility, he could be a face, be a heel, be a single guy. So that's pretty good. And intangibles, I think
that's the high. Yeah.
Really high for him. So.
Are we doing half ratings? Can I do a
9.5? Oh, 9.5. Yes.
Yeah. I guess these are all subject to change at the end.
Right. I'm trying to think, like, who would be high. Like, yeah, I'll go 9. I don't want to set it too, you know, set the bar too high.
Okay.
I guess.
Jump up.
So this would be like.
I just closed it.
No.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Hold on one sec. So this is like big moments. So memorable peak matches, moments, and storylines. So again, with this, like we kind of cut out his two biggest profile. Like we cut out his match against Sting at the pay-per-view and his match against Vader. That was the main event of a pay-per-view. So those are like his two highest profile matches.
Gotcha.
That should also still...
Count. Well, that's funny because the most memorable moment I can think is the WWE when he falls through the cage.
Well, yeah.
Attacks, so, like,
right.
Nothing and he did in WWE, WCW compares to that.
Right. Well, yeah, that's like the most, one of the iconic, most famous right? moments in wrestling. So, surprisingly, his match in Mobile, Alabama in 1992 doesn't quite match up. But.
No. So, I don't know.
And then he does have the tag title win. There at the end, and the boxes. Texas in the back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 7.5. I'm
going to give it a 7.
Okay. And then P is promo skills and character work.
Okay, well, he's getting a 9.5.
Oh, wow.
For that.
9.5.
He's articulate. He's good at cutting
promos. Yeah, he's very good at promos. Yeah. And he could do it face or heel.
Mm-hmm.
And he could do, like, funny ones and also
right. serious ones
that you're like, oh, Vader's going to kill him. I feel bad for him. Yeah, I'll give him a 9 there. And then work right, which is just the match
quality. See, I thought it would be, at first thought it'd be higher, but it's... I mean, he can do one thing. We can do it very well.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll give him an 8 for that.
Okay. I'm going to go 8.5 there because I think, yes, he does one thing, but he's
it's a
like...
a hard thing.
It's a very hard thing to do. It's very hard to replicate, and he's the best garbage wrestler ever. Like, I mean, really, that's what they call it, but he's the best doing it.
Change mine to an 8.5.
Okay.
Garbage wrestler.
Yeah. So, it'd be...
Just use the sum function.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mine will be 34.
Okay, those are definitely the highest ones.
Yes, by far.
I think we think we sold Dusty Rhodes pretty short.
Yeah.
We can go back and kind of level set.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll... I think, over time. And like I said, Cactus, Mick Foley, I'll say that, was always, like when 97, 98, 99, he was my favorite wrestler. And now I'd say he's probably like third behind Savage and Austin, just because I've seen more and more of both of them. But like, as far as actual guys, he's probably the best, like good family man.
No drinking and driving.
Black marks, yeah. No
character assassinations.
No questionable marriage tactics for Randy Savage. Like, that's the thing. Like,
and he's Santa Claus.
Yes, he is Santa Claus.
Yeah, you gotta love that.
Yeah, and he's done a lot.
He's like a genuinely
big
good
promote,
person.
Like,
yeah.
Good charity work and stuff like that.
Yeah,
every WrestleMania, I always put in a raffle he has where... one fan gets to go to WrestleMania with him and stuff, and it's all money goes to, like, the women's shelter thing. So, never won it, unfortunately.
Well, there's still time.
There's
not an age limit.
No. Yeah. I'm always a 10-year-old.
Well, you started training on behalf of our children.
Yeah, exactly.
Triple your chances. Yeah. That's not how that works, but you know.
Here we're going to LA with Mick Foley. What? What?
What? Yeah, he would just be like, can I eat animal crackers?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'll be fine with him then.
Like, okay, I'll go. Oh, man. Who are we doing next month?
So, next month we'll be looking at... We saw one of his matches this time. The Man Called Sting.
Oh, yeah.
Probably...
Okay. Good.
Probably the number two face on the WCW, like, Mount Rushmore. And we'll see. I already have planned quite a few Ric Flair matches, so...
Gotcha.
We'll see. I'll look at the number one guy as well.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, you know, spoiler alert for the
list. I like the idea of a WCW Mount Rushmore with top four are announced maybe one of the more talented members of PTVN can walk up.
Yeah. As long as we get Vader as Abe Miller-Hamblin, I'll be happy. Alright, yeah. But that's it for now.
Great. Looking forward to it. My birthday month.
Yep. Sting is your birthday month, yeah. I would say have a nice day, but that would be gimmick infringement on his WWF character,
yeah.
So I'll say bang bang.
Bang bang. We can sing happy birthday to me, bang bang.
happy birthday, bang bang!
Mr.